Lecture topic, devotion in Salah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmi ddeen wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, I have recited before you the opening verses of the 18th juz of the 23rd chapter of the Quran, the verses of Surah Mu'minun. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received a revelation, يُسْمَعُ عِنْدَ وَجْهِهِ كَدَوِيِّ النَّحْلِ, we would hear the sound of the buzzing of bees. One day we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we realized he was in communication with Allah and he was receiving revelation. What a privilege for Sahaba, we sit in a gathering and at times the gathering is interrupted by a phone call. Sahaba are present in a gathering and then there is a sudden pause, the discussion is put on halt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving revelation. Sayyidina Umar says after the revelation was over, فَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْقِبْلَ, he then faced Qibla in a very respectful manner. رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, he lifted his blessed hands and he made the following dua, اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا وأعطنا ولا تحرمنا وَآثِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْثِرْ عَلَيْنَا وَارْضَعَنَّا وَأَرْضِنَا. O Allah, increase us and don't decrease us, Allah. O Allah, grant us and don't deny us. O Allah, grant us privilege and don't dishonor us. O Allah, be pleased with us and make us pleased, O Allah. Then he said, لَقَدْ نَزَلَ عَلَيَّ آيَات مَنْ أَقَامَهُنَّ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Listen, O my Sahaba, I was in communication with Allah and I have just received revelation now. Certain verses have been revealed upon me. Whoever will implement these verses, he will go straight into Jannah. What are these verses? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, indeed the believers are successful. That's the good news. Then comes the challenging news. The good news is the believers are through. The challenging news is, do I fit the profile of a believer? The good news is, if you're a believer, you're true. The first reward or the first award is a car. It's good news, but are you the first one? It's pointless you rejoicing, that's the first prize, but you know you don't feature in the whole equation. The believers are true. Who are the believers? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who perform and observe their prayers with devotion. And then Allah speaks of many other things, and I only want to speak on the first quality, and that is Salah. And then Allah wraps up the discussion again with Salah. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Allah commences the quality of the pious with Salah. Allah terminates it and concludes it with Salah. And Allah says, those who have these qualities, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. A very unique phrase Allah uses here. Allah says, they are the heirs and they are the inheritors. What is the legacy that they inherit, Allah? الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. They will inherit the gardens of Jannah. Scholars of tafsir write, the most strongest ownership that any human can possibly own is that via inheritance. If a person makes a deal, the deal can be cancelled and the item can be taken. If a person gives you a gift, while obviously it is discouraged to ask your gift back, but it is possible that somebody comes and claims and takes the gift back. But there is only one way where the ownership is irrevocable and irreversible, and that is in inheritance, unless obviously if the dead man stands up, which obviously is impossible. Allah uses the phrase of inheritance for Jannah, meaning this Jannah is yours, nobody snatches it away from you. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Now what is the salah that Allah exhorts us to perform? The riwayat of Mu'tah Imam Malik, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ أَهَمَّ أُمُورِكُمْ عِنْدِي الصَّلَاةِ. I consider salah to be the most important. مَنْ حَفِظَهَا وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا فَقَدْ حَفِظَ دِينَ. If you have protected your salah, in essence you have preserved your religion. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ. Now many people have the perception, you know, I'm negligent about my salah, but I'm particular about other aspects of faith. Well, that doesn't go down well with the quotation of Umar. It doesn't gel together. The quotation in Mu'atta Imam Malik, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, and if anybody is negligent about his salah, heedless, unmindful, oblivious, he will neglect the other orders of Allah even more. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَ So this is a quotation of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when a person goes to sleep, the devil ties three knots on his nape. فَإِنِ اسْتَيْقَدَ فَذَكَرَ اللَّهِ When awakening from his sleep, if he takes the name of Allah, he reads the relevant dua, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا إِنْ حَلَّتْ عُقْدَ He has opened up one of the knots of the devil. فَإِنْ تَوَضَّعَ If he then performs wudu, إِنْ حَلَّتْ عُقْدَ He has opened the second knot. فَإِذَا صَلَّى When he performs the salah, إِنْ حَلَّتْ عُقْدَ He has opened up the third knot. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, أَصْبَحَ نَشِيطًا طَيِّبًا النَّفْسِ This person will be healthy, talented, skilled, and his day will be meaningful and fruitful. On the reverse, if he does not perform the salah, and he does not read the relevant du'as, the Prophet ﷺ at times used the word, أَصْبَحَ خَبِيثًا نَفْسِ كَسْلًا This man will be lazy and miserable for the whole day. And in certain riwayat he said, ذاك رجل بال الشيطان في أذني Don't speak about the man who hasn't commenced his day with Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is a person in whose ears the devil has urinated. Now I'm afraid to say, my brother, those that are sitting in the driving seat today and are holding the reins of the Muslim matters and are sitting on the soft pedestals and are in charge of our affairs, a percentage, nay a significant percentage of them, stand up in the morning contaminated with the urine of the devil on the declaration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and no one else. What is khushu in salah? What is concentration in salah? Number one, the Quran says inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. It is the nature of salah. If performed correctly, it will prevent you from sin and immorality. Like any other medication, it has to be taken in the correct quantity, in the correct dosage, and it has to be in harmony with a particular diet. If the diet is not in place, then the medication will not yield the expected results. If it's not taken in the quantity also, you make in Maghrib when you like. You're not taking it in the manner in which you are, then obviously you're not going to see the results. The riwayat of Ibn Kathir, one person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anna fulanan yusalli billayl, fa idha asbaha saraqa. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forgive me, this so and so, he performs the salah by night, but when morning breaks through, at early morning, then he engages in the act of theft. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innahu sayanhahu ma taqul. If he's performing his salah punctually, diligently, then soon that salah will prevent him. The second riwayat of Baghawi on the strength of Anas radiallahu anhu, أن فتى من الأنصار كان يصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلوات الخمس. There was one youngster from the Ansari tribe that used to perform the five daily salah with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم لم يدع شيئا من الفواحش إلا ركبه. But you named the sin and he had perpetrated it. You named the crime and he had committed it. You named the offense and he was guilty of it. So someone brought this to the notice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This man performs salah, but really he engages in a host of crimes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna salatahu tanhahu yawma." One day the salah will prevent him and he will abandon this wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam barely said it. فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ أَنْ تَابَ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُ He repented and he became one of the noblest companions. He became one of the noblest companions. Now what is the definition of devotion in salah? What does devotion in salah entail? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, الْخُشُوعُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَلَّا يَعْرِفَ الْمُصَلِّ مَنْ عَلَى يَمِينِهِ وَمَنْ عَلَى شِمَالِهِ The least, the bare minimum of devotion in salah, Ibn Abbas says, that a musalli must be so focused on worshiping Allah that he is heedless and unaware of the man on his right and the man on his left. Sa'id ibn Jubair said, مَا عَرَفْتُ مَنْ عَلَى يَمِينِي وَمَنْ عَلَى شِمَالِي مُنْذُ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً Alhamdulillah, Sa'id ibn Jubair says, for the last 40 years that I observed my prayer, I wasn't aware of the man on my right and my left, because I heard Ibn Abbas saying, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal, من عرف من على يمينه ومن على شماله متعمدا فلا صلاة له. That person who deliberately is conscious of the man on his right and his left, the words of Ibn Abbas, the father of Tafsir, the words of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the leader of the jurors on the day of Qiyamah, they both said, tell that man, I'm sorry, there is no salah for him. Now can we imagine this here, the riwayat of Bazzar, the riwayat of Ibn Abi Shayba, Huzaifa ibn Yaman, who was the confidant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أول ما تفقدون من دينكم الخشوع. The first thing you will lose from religion is devotion in salah. وربا مصل لا خير فيه. And there are many people who observe the prayer, there is no good in them. Then he said, يوشك أن تدخل مسجد جماعة فلا ترى فيهم خاشعة. I'm afraid I prophesize an error, where you will enter into a massive masjid, where thousands of people will congregate and converge. There will not be one person in the entire congregation that will offer the prayer with devotion. فَلَا تَرَى فِيهِمْ خَاشِعًا. The riwayat of Ata rahmatullah alayh, he says, when a person is performing salah, and then his gaze starts roaming, Allah says, إِلَى مَنْ تَلْتَفِتْ. Oh my servant, what an audacity, you speaking to me, yet you look at others. I swear by my might and my grandeur, I am better for you than to whomsoever you turn. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it in the riwayat of Bukhari, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَرْفَعُونَ أَبَصَارَهُمْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. What is the matter with people? They raise their heads towards the heavens in salah, they raise their gaze. لَيُنْتَهُنَّ عَنْ ذَلِكَ أَوْ لَتُخْتَفَنَّ أَبَصَارُهُمْ. Tell them to abandon this before my Allah seizes their vision. Tell them to abandon this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, when he used to perform salah, amongst the du'as he made, خَشَعَ لَكَ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي وَمُخِّي وَعَذْمِي. Allah, I have dropped myself before you. Not just my physical, nay, my bones and my flesh, my organs and my limbs are in your obedience, O Allah. Brothers, a thing that is very, very disturbing, and I believe is part of the etiquettes of salah. Unfortunately, it's a sad reality. It's a sad reality that when we attend our gatherings and our meetings, we find it below our dignity to attend that with an Islamic attire, with an Islamic garb. So it is, Allah be my witness, there are two things that pain me a lot. I am the most wicked person you have seen, and I'm not here to praise myself in any way. But when I see a person performing namaz or salah next to me in a haphazard way, Allah is my witness, I say this in his house, I literally feel physical pain. I have to excuse, I cannot see, it's a sight that I cannot see. And the second thing that hurts me a lot is that we do not attend our gatherings with our Islamic garb. It's a sad sight when a man walks out of the masjid, he barely exits and that headgear goes off him. In other words, he doesn't want to be recognized as a Muslim. He puts on his symbol of a believer when he enters. And when he exits, he camouflages, he disguises, he wants to blend in with others. Taken what you've said, my pain is, my brother, when you find it below your dignity to dress as an Islamic and a Muslim person in that gathering, why do you bring that attire into the house of Allah? I cannot understand, forgive me, a tie in the house of Allah, to come bareheaded in the house of Allah, come in with these caps and performing salah, come in with these slogans and promoting this and that. Are we aware where we are standing? Are we conscious? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akala min hadhihi shajara fala yaqrubanna masjidana." If anybody eats raw garlic or raw onion, and then it is the time of salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam humbly asks him and uses stern words, telling him, "For Allah's sake, not to come to my masjid." فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ الْإِنْسِ. Because your bad smell is causing enormous discomfort to the angels. Now if that is the words for someone eating raw onion and raw garlic, you can make the equation of those who smoke and come and walk into the masjid. Understand what a painful sight. And Allah forbid, the thing has spread so much. Last week when I was in Makkah, you know, it was a sad sight that I just exited from the haram, and there is a big bold sign speaking on the harms of cigarette. At-tadkhinu yaqtul thalathata ashra nasmatan yawman fil alam. that smoking kills 13,000 people daily, that kills 13,000 people daily in the world. Why? Because it has become so prevalent there. So amongst the etiquettes of salah, amongst the etiquettes of the masjid, what when this verse was revealed, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah says, has the time not come? Has the time not come for the believer's heart now to be focused exclusively to Allah? Has the time not come? When this verse was revealed, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا كَانَ بَيْنَ إِسْلَامِنَا وَبَيْنَ أَنْ عُوتِبْنَا بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ إِلَّا أَرْبَعَ سِنِينَ. This verse wherein Allah admonished us and Allah said, it's time you now get your act together and stop everything else, was revealed 4 years after we accepted Islam. We were given a window period of grace of 4 years where it was expected that we comply in totality to every order of Allah. You and I know we are performing salah for how many years? What is the condition? The hadith I quoted in the beginning, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let your salah conform with my salah. In fact, the Quran teaches us the answer to depression. My brother, you have in financial problems, you have in marital problems. You see, the solutions that Islam gives, we don't want to do. And we want other solutions, that is why we're still miserable. Each man goes through depression, some are drowning their depression in clubs till 4 in the morning. Others are doing other things, whatever is happening. The Quran says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدَرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know you go through a degree of depression because of the allegations against you. Well, the answer to your depression is drop your head before me. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكْ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. When somebody insults you, don't retaliate, respond to salah. Someone made a nasty remark and they said, Muhammad is an abtar. Abtar means an animal, the tail of which has been severed. Meaning he has no male offspring that have survived. Hence his lineage will not prosper. Now those are derogatory, inflammatory comments which are painful to any human. Allah revealed the verse. Allah said, don't react. Don't react with emotion. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Ignore the comments and look at what I gave you. To start off, I gave you kawthar. In Bahr al-Muhit, there is 26 different opinions of kawthar, commonly translated as the pond. Then Allah said, how do you digress? How do you take depression? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. You turn to me and perform salah. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. Allah said, I am watching you turning and twisting amongst those that prostrate. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Perform salah like how you have seen me performing salah. What is the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The riwayat is in Qurtubi. A person by the name of Jubair ibn Mut'im says, I came to Medina Munawwara, I was not a Muslim. I came to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the prisoners of Badr. As a non-Muslim, I wanted to know what's happening to the captives. I got there, it was the time of Maghrib. Can we imagine the atmosphere? You know, we hastened to secure the Maghrib of Salih al-Budayr or Thubayt or Huzayfi. Imagine the privilege of Sahaba behind the master of both the worlds in his masjid in Medina. Jubair ibn Mut'im says, as I walked into Medina, the sun was tipping on the western horizon. The devoted companions had gathered around Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prayer was being offered in his blessed mosque. And he was reciting this verse with feeling and passion. Inna azaba rabbika lawaqi' ma lahu min dafi'. Verily the torment of your Lord will grip them. And none can avert the torment of your Lord. Jubair said the passion with which the Prophet ﷺ read it. I felt a tremor in my heart. I changed my mind there and there. And I accepted and I recited the kalima there and there. The same verse, it is mentioned in Ibn Kathir. Umar radiallahu anhu is riding on his conveyance. One person is performing salah. Umar radiallahu anhu dismounts. He heard this verse. فَاسْتَنَدَ إِلَىٰ حَائِدٍ. He reclined against a wall. رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ بَيْتٍ. He returned home. لَبِثَ شَهْرًا يَعُودُهُ النَّاسِ. For 1 month after hearing that verse, he took it so personally, he became sick. You just tell the person, doctors suspect you got cancer, he becomes more sick. What happens to that house? Imagine there is a riwayat of Sahaba, of a businessman. Now, my brother, you know, you are traveling. Today, let me mention to you another hadith and I will tie it up with that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٍ. The closest a person can get to his Lord is in sajda. There's no other position in which You can bond yourself more with your creator than sajda. The riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. Ibn Mas'ud is the narrator. He said, بَيْنَمَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُصَلِّي فِي الْحَرَامِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salah in Masjid al-Haram. وَأَبُو جَهْلٍ وَأَصْحَابٌ لَهُ جُلُوسٌ. And Abu Jahl and his companions are sitting there. And they are watching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَدْ نُحِرَتْ جُزُورٌ بِالْأَمْسِ. And a camel was slaughtered the day before. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into sajda, Abu Jahl made a challenge to those that were present. He said, أَيُّكُمْ يَقُومُ إِلَى سَلَى جَزُورُ بَنِي فُلَانٍ. Which one of you can pluck up the courage to bring the intestines of the camel that was slaughtered and drop it on the shoulders of Muhammad when he goes into sajda? Today, my brother, you make sajda on a soft carpet, on a fan above you, on acorns around you. Reflect for a moment on the sajda of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But trust me, that sajda was a different sajda. Nonetheless, my Nabi goes into sajda. فَانْبَعَثَ أَشْقَى الْقَوْمِ. The most wicked, the most wretched, the most nasty stands up. He advances to the intestines of that camel. He brings it and he drops it on that back that the Quran speaks about. الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. Allah spoke of every organ of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. He drops this, which was colossal, which was mammoth, which was weighty. He drops it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاسْتَضْحَكُوا. And then they start clapping hands and they had a good laughter. But I promise, brothers, wallah, a sajda in hostility, when people are opposing you, when the environment is not conducive, that is a sajda, the sweetness of which cannot be matched to a sajda on any location. Once I was flying from California to Minneapolis in the States, and I was performing salah on board. Alhamdulillah, generally we do not witness any form of hostility or reservation. But there was a gentleman that was needling me and I had about 4 salah to perform. Wallah, I cannot tell you the pleasure of that salah at that time. I crave for that sajda. I honestly crave for that, because this is now a bond between you and your creator, something that words cannot describe. That is when a man will stand up and drop his musalla wherever he is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in sajda. They are having ja'ala yameelu ba'dhuhum ila ba'd. They started actually rolling with laughter. Ibn Mas'ud said, wa ana qa'imun anzur. And I'm looking at this and it's hurting me. Law kanat li man'a tarahtuhu an dhahri rasulillah. If I had the courage, I would have moved the intestines. I couldn't do anything. My heart is boiling. My tears are rolling. فَانْطَلَقَ إِنْسَانٌ. Somebody ran to Fatima and said, oh Fatima, come see your dad quickly. فَجَاءَتْ فَاتِمَةُ وَهِيَ جُوَيْرِيَةٌ. This little Fatima came as a small girl. She came to the rescue of my Nabi. Hence my Nabi said, مَنْ آذَاهَا فَقَدْ آذَانِي. I will never forget Fatima. You hurt her, you have hurt me. She came. Can you imagine her in her innocence? Her walk, مَا كَانَتْ مِشْيَتُهَا تُخْطِعُ عَنْ مِشْيَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Her walk, sahaba say, was a precise walk of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In her innocent way, she came walking. She moved the intestines from the back of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not abandon his salah. That what is this on me? No, he completed his salah. One fly, one mosquito is enough for me to abandon my salah. He continued his salah. When he ended his salah, رَفَعَ صَوْتَهُ. Fatima said, I heard. And then Fatima started admonishing them. أَقْبَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ تَشْتِمُهُمْ. May you die, you evil, wicked, nasty people. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Have you seen the person who prevents my Nabi from prostrating? What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? رَفَعَ صَوْتَهُ. He lifted his voice. وَكَانَ إِذَا دَعَى دَعَى ثَلَاثًا. Sahaba say, when he made dua, he said it thrice. When he cursed, he said it thrice. He said, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Allah, these people have prevented me from bowing and prostrating. Allah, deal with them individually. Ibn Mas'ud said, فَلَمَّا سَمِعُوا دَعْوَتَهُ ذَهَبَ عَنْهُمُ الذِّحْكُ. When they heard the curse, that joy and that laughter turned instantly into tears. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on, he said it 3 times. Then he said, Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl ibn Hisham, wa Utbah ibn Rabi'a, wa Shaybah ibn Rabi'a, wa Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayth, wa Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Now can you imagine It is my Nabi in the golden era of prophethood, in the surroundings of the Kaaba, what Ibn Mas'ud saying, Ameen. What will be the fate of that person who is cursed by my Nabi? Ibn Mas'ud said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ الَّذِينَ سَمَّى صَرْعَى يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ. Everyone whose Nabi Sassam, whose name Nabi Sassam took, I seen them lying dead on the floor in a line in the battle of Badr. Everyone that he had prophesied that Allah will deal with them, they were lying on a row. This is Salah, my brother, in Sajda. The riwayat of Nasa'i Sharif. There was a solar eclipse in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kusifati shamsu ala ahdi Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in Salah. Atal al qiyam, he had a lengthy ruku, a lengthy qiyam. Then he went into sajda, وَجَعَلَ يَبْكِي فِي سُجُودِهِ وَيَنْفُخُ. And in sajda, he started crying profusely. He started crying profusely, and then he started blowing as if he was extinguishing. When he completed salah, he said, عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ الْجَنَّةُ. Jannat was presented to me in the sajda. حَتَّى لَوْ مَدَدْتُ يَدِي تَنَاوَلْتُ مِنْ قُتُوفِهَا. If I had to stretch my hand, I could actually pluck the fruit of Jannat. I could actually pull out from the branches of Jannat. تَنَاوَلْتُ مِنْ قُتُوفِهَا. وَعُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ النَّارِ. وَعُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ النَّارِ. And at the same time, hell was presented before me. The fire of Jahannam was presented before me. فَجَعَلْتُ أَنْفُخْ خَشْيَةَ أَنْ يَغْشَاكُمْ حَرَّهَا. And as I seen hell in Salah, I started blowing, lest the heat engulfs you. Imagine the passion of this Nabi, the love of this Nabi. Then he said, رَأَيْتُ فِيهَا إِمْرَأَةً سَوْدَى. In my salah, when I seen hell, I vividly seen a woman being punished. I seen her being punished because she had abused one cat. لَمْ تُطْعِمْهَا وَلَمْ تَسْطِهَا وَلَمْ تَدَعَهَا تَأْكُلْ مِنْ خَشَاشِ الْأَرْضِ. Because she had ill-treated this animal, that is why she was being punished. In my salah, I seen it. Then he said, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The sun and the moon are but the signs of Allah. Where they do not eclipse at the birth or the death of anyone, because there was a solar eclipse which coincided with the death of the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu. Many people use this to say that even the sun is mourning the death of the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah was not like you and I to latch on to credit and say, whereas every credit for him was due, there was nothing undue for him. He could ideally latch on and say, yes, even the sun is mourning. He said, no, this is the command of Allah. They do not eclipse at the birth or the death of any person. When you see this, turn to Allah. Brothers, bear with me. This is the sajda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might think this is exclusive to a Nabi. Let me tell you the sajda of a sinner. Let me tell you the sajda of a transgressor. The sajda of an infidel. The sajda of a man who lived, who came to challenge a Nabi. Allah speaks about the magicians in the time of Musa. When they came to challenge Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam, they came with pride and arrogance. We think today, you know, the team, the soccer team or the cricket team has pride and arrogance. And, you know, they feel they will win the cup and they will win this and that. These magicians had so much pride. أَقْبَلُوا بِخُيَلَائِهِمْ وَفَخْرِهِمْ الْيَوْمَ يَرَى الْمَلِكُ صَنِيعَنَا الْيَوْمَ يَرَى الْقَوْمُ فَضْلَنَا. They came turning, you know, you see when the batsman comes, he's just flapping it around just to get the support and a clap and a smile and acknowledgement. As they came into the ground, thousands have gathered. It was the finals between the truth and falsehood. The narration suggests from 70 to 12,000, if not 15,000 of these magicians. Musa and Harun standing on one side. They come in great arrogance and they tell Musa, Ya Musa, imma an tulqiya wa imma an nakuna awwala man alqa. Let's go for it, Musa. Pharaoh's throne is there, the support is there, the banners have been thrown up, the slogans have been chanted. Musa, you want to throw first or we go? Musa say, no, go for it first. Flip the coin, you want the toss, it's yours. فَأَلْقَوْ حِبَالَهُمْ وَعِصِيَّهُمْ وَقَالُوا بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ. They drop their sticks and they drop their staffs and their ropes. And they say, in the name of Pharaoh, we will win. As they drop it down, it appears to the people that they are snakes. The Quran says, سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ. They cast a spell on the eyes. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ. They struck terror in the hearts. وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. They displayed great magic. Then came the time of Musa. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Allah says a magician can thrill and deceive, but not in the presence of a prophet. You can deceive, but not when a Nabi is there. Allah told Musa, you drop what you have. أَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ. Go for it. Listen to this, my brothers. Bear with me. When Sayyidina Musa drops his staff, the Quran says it swallows everything. These people were experts of the field. They knew magic in and out. In one glimpse, they realized this is divine. This is a miracle. This got nothing to do with magic. Now look at the beauty of these people. أُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When they seen this year, they dropped their heads in sajda in the entire crowd. So the whole stadium is behind them. The journalists are behind them. They want an opinion from them, a word from them. And these people, the players are in sajda. Anyway, they have a lengthy sajda. They raise their heads. Listen, Pharaoh, we've changed our attitude. Amanna, one sajda has changed their lives. Amanna bi rabbil alameen. But that sajda, my brother, you make it at the airport. That sajda, my brother, you make it wherever you are traveling. You make it around hostility. For Allah's sake, don't be apologetic about your faith. Allah praised these people. They said, listen, Fir'aun, we brought iman on the Lord of all the worlds. Fir'aun still interprets it positively. He says, Iyaya anaytum, all the worlds. You mean you're talking about me, isn't it? They said, no, no, my friend, catch a hike. Rabbi Musa wa Harun. We are talking of the Lord of Musa and Harun. Oh, if you brought iman on him, there are going to be consequences. The words of the Quran. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبَقَى. Listen, I'm going to now chop you. All the players, the support is behind you, the nation is behind you. The event is yours and you desert us. But then they had a sajda, my brother, which my 30 years haven't given me. You know your age. I don't know if you had that sajda. Fir'aun said, we're going to chop your right hands and your left legs. Otherwise, you accept or you return back to our faith. Now let me tell you what Ibn Kathir has written, who is a scholar of tafsir and hadith, and is notorious for refuting fabricated and unauthentic narrations. On the strength of Awza'i, he writes, رُفِعَتْ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى نَظَرُوا إِلَيْهَا. In that sajda, Allah opened up reality and they stared at Jannah. And in another riwayat of Sa'id ibn Jubair, رَأَوْ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. In that prostration, against the odds, against the numbers, they just did not see paradise. Allah said, there's paradise and there's your abode. Now when you stand up from that sajda, my brother, who's going to tempt you? What is there of the world that can tempt you? What did they say? فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضِ. 15 years of studying, I still cannot translate this verse into any language. فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضِ. Listen, Fir'aun, in this sajda we sing Jannat. We have a bond with our Allah. أهل الليل في ليلهم ألذ من أهل اللهو في لهوهم. Someone said, the spiritual ecstasy, the pious derive in prostrating before Allah, far more excels the fake pleasure that the sinful get in the clubs and in the laps of strange women. Spiritual ecstasy in that sajda. Wallah, there is a sajda, my brother. I don't have it, you don't have it. Ask those that have it. Just as today you cannot keep your head on the floor, there is a sajda that the pious enjoy. They cannot lift their head. They just cannot lift it. One scholar told me, look after your eyes and Allah will give you that sajda. Allah give it to me, Allah give it to you. Where you get riveted to the earth, where you cannot lift your head. They said, Fir'aun, why are you making it one hand and one leg? فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضِ. Why not go for both the hands and both the legs? Go for the kill. Go for the jugular. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا إِنَّا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّنَا لِيَغْفِرَ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا. We brought iman on Allah. In the midst of all these people that are watching us, support, cameras, fame, credibility against them, we're hoping our iman, when it's been broadcasted across the globe and the support was with us, we're hoping because of this Allah will forgive our sins because of the kufr you got us involved in. Really, this is a sajda, my brother. May Allah give it to me. May Allah give it to you. I leave you with the last hadith. A sahabi by the name of Rabi'a ibn Ka'b said, I passionately served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hatta yusalli al-isha al-akhira. I used to stay with him till he would perform isha. فَإِذَا دَخَلَ بَيْتَهُ أَجْلِسُ بِبَابِهِ. When he would enter his house, I would sit by the door, hoping that if there is a need in the dead of night, I'm there to respond. But I would only hear him saying, Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, Subhanallahi wa bihamdi. فَأَرْجِعُ أَوْ تَغْلِبُنِي عَيْنَايَ. One day he realized that I really love him and I passionately want to serve him. He said, come here, Rabi'a, سَلْنِي أُعْتِكُ. Today I'm telling you, Rabi'a, you ask me and whatever you ask, it's on. He said, "Anzuru fi amri." O Prophet of Allah, I will go back, look into the matter, and I'll get back to you. Rabi'ah said, "I went back and I fought over it. Obviously, immediately all your material problems flashed before you. I need this, I need that, sort out this, sort out that." فَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّ الدُّنْيَا مُنْقَطِعَةٌ زَائِلَةٌ وَأَنَّ لِي فِيهَا رِزْقًا سَيَأْتِينِي وَسَيَكْفِينِي. I thought about it, I said, this world will end, whether with ease or difficulty, but it's going to come to an end. I'll get my butt, I'll get my share, I'll have my roof, my life will pass, my number will end, and I'll move on. I don't think it's intelligent for me to use such a blessed supplication to secure material gain. I said, let me change it, leave my material things. I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ma fa'alta ya Rabi'a?" Rabi'a, have you thought over the matter? He said, "Yes, I've reflected at length." What's the conclusion? أسألك أن تشفع لي إلى ربك فيعتقني من النار. Ask your Lord to forgive me and my neck be saved from hell. من أمرك بهذا يا ربيعة؟ ربيعة, who gave this suggestion to you? Where did you get this from? He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, nobody told it to me. I reflected at length and I thought over it. And then I realized that really speaking, there is nothing better I can ask." ربيعة said, the Prophet ﷺ went into silence. صمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طويلا. He went into a lengthy pause. Then he raised his head. He said, "Inni fa'ilun. I will make that dua for you. Fa'inni ala kathrati sujood. Do me a favor. Make prostration a common practice in your life." Really, brothers, I cry my heart. I ask everyone, those of us that are performing salah, let us improve our salah. I'm saying this, I have few more months left in this community, as you are aware. I hope that something can come out of the little talks that we have shared, the little discussions that we have had. I hope it can drive a message to one person also. Those of us that are not performing salah, let us seize the opportunity. Let us seize the opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commence our day with salah, end it with salah. Allah grant us all the reality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.